I think the key for brands now is to understand what are the trends over the next 5 to 10 years, and how can you start to test in emerging platforms that will help them be ready for when it's here. Because if they start testing it when it's here, it's too late.
Welcome to the Next M Podcast. Tech at heart, ignition in mind.
Hello and welcome to the Next M Podcast. My name is Lars Peters and I'm here with Sam Field. He is head of creative technology EMEA for Riot Studio at Verizon Media. Sam, I know what Verizon is. I have heard about them, but what is Riot Studio?
So Riot Studio is the content and innovation agency within Verizon Media. So we work in film, in immersive, so augmented and virtual reality, and also brand activations and branded content.
And so you are kind of on top of the digital development at Verizon then probably, and also taking care of everything that's connected with mobile standards. So we are going to talk a lot about 4G, 5G basically, and also about content.
Yep.
Why is that so important for a company like Verizon that we get such a new standard like 5G, which is so fast and gives us the opportunity to deliver data even faster than before?
Yeah, so I mean 5G is central to Verizon's strategy, you know, hugely influential, first to 5G in the US in 2018, and now we're going to be in 30 cities by the end of the year. We also have lots of what they call 5G labs, where they have core innovation partners, tech startups working on the network to build products, launch businesses, and launch services on that platform. So for us, it's the key to 5G is not thinking about just speed and throughput, because 4G and 3G really focused on speed, download speed.
Okay.
But there's a really interesting talk by Hans Vestberg, our CEO at CES, where he talks about the 8 currencies of 5G.
Okay.
So there are 8 capabilities that will help business, that help consumers, help in content, in distribution, in many, many facets. So speed, throughput, mobility, so how fast you can travel while connected to it, connected devices, so just the number of connected devices, 1,000 times more, so up to 1 million in a square kilometer.
Okay.
Which is great for things like stadium, shopping centers, airports, etc. You've also got reliability, lower latencies, it's more energy efficient, and also there is one more I've forgotten.
But which is no doubt, because when there are like 8 advantages or 8 big things, it's easy just to forget one. But
yeah.
I'm actually already impressed, not just by you remembering those, but they really make sense. And because you are referring to 5G standard being a revolution also, can you just make it more visible in a way so that we understand better? So what would it mean like in daily life for people like us or like me?
Well, I think that there are some core trends. We talk about them as road to 5G technologies, mm-hmm. right? So the team of creative technologists that work in my team are looking at what will be the technologies that will be supercharged by 5G, and what and how can we start working with them now and help brands work with them, help our own internal teams work with them, and agencies work with them. And those are typically the amount of data that you can receive and stream in real time, and how quickly you can do it means you can start to move the processing on your device into the cloud or onto the edge of the network, what they call mobile edge compute. So if you've ever done any meaningful kind of AR experience, you'll know that you need to download an app normally.
Right.
It's quite heavy processing on the device. It means that your phone gets very hot very quickly.
It does.
It starts processing, it drains your battery. And that's because it's trying to do so much on your device. You know, there's more computational power in your smartphone than there was used to send man to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that if you can start to move that off the device and onto the edge of the network or in the cloud and start streaming that into your device, all of a sudden AR experiences and VR experiences become more immersive, higher fidelity, and you start to integrate things like much, much better computer vision. You can start to identify and recognize the world around you as opposed to just, you know, just a surface.
Yeah.
Starts to understand and contextualize buildings and locations.
Right.
So that's going to be a big trend, is immersive. So Apple are launching AR glasses in the next 2 years, for example. We know that because all of the code is hidden in the iPhone 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming soon. Lots of companies like Scape, Snap, we're working with Snap in the US, for example, are starting to map out the physical world and overlay augmented content. So for a consumer, it might mean that if you go to a supermarket and your AR glasses, you might want to only see products that are carbon neutral.
Other ones you wouldn't see. It would just
let side, you know, blur them out. You could have, you pick up some ham and you get recipe suggestions, or you go to a football stadium and you can see at halftime the first half highlights on the pitch for your smart glasses. You know, start to open up a real world of possibilities that just isn't possible with a 4G network because the lack of data, the lack of speed, and the number of connected devices maxes out at about 100,000, which is why you can never even check the scores at a football match, let alone augment content over the top of the pitch.
Actually, like this is what people are discussing today, that if there are too many people like on a too close space, or like even if they're living too closely together and everyone is home at night and starts streaming, so you need to share the amount of data which is available probably, and that makes it more slowly.
Yeah.
So we won't face that problem anymore with 5G.
Yeah, once the network is mainstream and there's the right level of access, that will change. So one of the things that they talk about, and this is getting a bit technical, because remember, I'm a creative background, I'm not a technical background. So what I'm trying to do is take this information and make it more understandable for consumers and agencies and clients and brands. But there's one thing called network slicing. So 5G, you're able to slice the network into different spectrums and then give that to different users. Mm-hmm. So in a smart city, you might give access to the general public, to the emergency services, to digital advertising. You start to be able to have, and then at any one time, you can then give all of the bandwidth to the emergency services if required.
Because it's necessary.
Because it's flexible and you can do that in real time. So it's very, very flexible. And I think, you know, there is pressure on the telcos, your Vodafones, your Deutsche Telco, and so on, but also the government to start to push the infrastructure that is going to allow this to thrive. Because in the US, they've got millimeter wave. So on a basic level, 5G is just higher frequency radio bands.
Yeah.
And at the top end, it's millimeter wave that carries a lot more connected devices, much faster, lower latency, but it only travels short distances. So you have to have a lot of small cells.
How close have they to be together?
For millimeter wave, half a kilometer.
Okay, so that would mean like for a country like Germany, well, like every 500 meters, you would have to have a new cell or new antenna to be able to cover whole of Germany.
For millimeter wave, yeah. But you can have people, they'll have 4G for really rural areas, and then they'll have mid-band, which is what they've got now in Germany, so that 3.6 gigahertz is that middle. Sub 6 gigahertz is what it calls, a bit technical, but it's mid-band. It's what we have in the UK as well at the moment. Millimeter wave will be auctioned, and that will be for your densely populated cities.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to get that really, really fast download speeds and more of the kind of mobile edge compute. And well, actually, one of the big predictions is that more, you know, we believe that the early adopters will be enterprise, as well as that enterprise who have consumer access points. So football stadium, retail center, shopping center, airports, anywhere where there's large groups of people with high value people. And then from there, you'll start to see things like intelligent manufacturing, healthcare, and so on.
So that spreads out into the different part of daily life or people's lives.
Yeah.
But in Germany, there's kind of a big discussion about like autonomous driving.
Yep.
So like having a car and you don't have to steer it yourself.
Yep.
And they say that you would need 5G for doing that. But then again, there are critics who say like, but if there are like some interferences with other services, will that be a problem or won't that be a problem? So can we rely on the technology then?
So the insight that I'm hearing again and again is that 5G is the enabler of existing technology, just like 4G enabled existing technology, just like 3G enabled existing technology. Mm-hmm. What 5G gives you, particularly in city centres, because you've got more infrastructure, it's much more reliable, 99.99% reliable. I mean, even now in Germany, the requirement for the telecommunications, anyone who owns 5G spectrum now, by 2024, has to deliver less than 10 milliseconds in latency on any major highway, any major road in Germany.
So
they are already preparing for a world where we need low latency on our roads.
Okay, so for once, German infrastructure will be in a good shape or will deliver what you need.
That's the plan, yeah. But yeah, absolutely, you need low latency. because you can't have a car waiting for 100 milliseconds to make a decision. It has to be less than 10 milliseconds, which is faster than the human eye. We see it about 13 milliseconds. It needs to have high throughput. It has to be reliable. You have to have many connected devices. So all of these factors are what is going to be required. You need computer vision in your car to know, recognizing objects, recognizing a person, a cyclist, another car. Nissan are using it in testing it in Japan, where they're taking the camera feed from their cars over 5G, sending that signal to the cloud, and then giving it, beaming that back down to any other car in the area. So those cars can see what that car can see, which means actually you get a 3D map of the world.
Right.
And you can see around corners, you can see where traffic is, you can see where car parking spaces are.
So the cars are not acting for themselves and only reacting on what they are seeing around them, but they are really connected to other cars.
They can see what other cars...
see what the other cars probably doing in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and so on.
Yeah.
And so if I got you right, the connection between the cars, for instance, or our mobiles or whatever, will be fast enough that this information is being processed somewhere in the cloud, and that we are so well connected that we get the information back in any milliseconds, so that we basically are can react faster than a human could ever do, right?
That is the plan, yeah. You know, and that is a, you know, we're talking 10 years from now, really, for that. No, they're testing it. We're testing it here in Düsseldorf at the moment. But, you know, realistically, the infrastructure needs to be there. So, and that, you know, in itself, connected cars become a next major media channel, right? If we're not driving our cars in 10
years. Exactly. So the media channel then.
Yeah.
So also you said, like, okay, downloads are a thing from yesterday. Also, we're going to approach the post-smartphone era, you call that.
Yeah.
So we will leave the house without a smartphone then? Will that happen? What will we have instead?
So there's two ways of looking at this. The first way is our phones can be less smart because we don't need to have so much computational power in our phone devices because they can be done in the cloud.
Okay.
That's one angle. The other angle is that wearables become more streamlined. If you don't need to have your computational power on your device, it means your glasses can be augmented glasses. You don't need to have so much processing power. Right. They can be paired with your smartwatch, and those two devices work. Mm-hmm. They do everything you need to do from a phone, because actually holding your phone up,
looking through your phone isn't
most of the time isn't a particularly good user experience. Yep. But just gazing through a pair of glasses is. So that's where the insight comes from. And then any surface becomes a screen. Any surface becomes a source of content. And then there's a whole, you know, there are businesses out there now who are looking at, well, how do we control the influx of data and information into augmented glasses, smart glasses, for example. So there's lots of campaigns that use famous buildings to drop digital content on.
Mm-hmm.
Should that building get some money for that? And if so, what's the permissions process within the payment structure? So there's companies already setting up, a company called Darabase in the UK, who are setting up and working with land registrations and with buildings to for them to get a cut of any advertising revenue that's served on their buildings.
Exactly. So like new technology comes for a price. So we all probably will have to pay for it in a way, or advertising will. So what are your predictions? You've now already mentioned some ideas. So if like a building would be included and like getting a share out of the advertising money that's being spent within the new augmented reality world somehow, how can this business model work, and how can brands, for instance, go into that?
I think that will naturally play out. You know, we saw it a long time ago with projection mapping on buildings and, you know, who owns light on a building. And that was very quickly shut down, and you could do it, but you had to pay the building's permission. So I think it will behave in a very similar way to outdoor advertising eventually, and it will become automated and built in. I think the key for brands now is to understand what are the trends over the next 5 to 10 years, and how can you start to test in emerging platforms that will help them be ready for when it's here. Because if they start testing it when it's here, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think back to Facebook and MySpace when the smartphone came along. Facebook were ready for smartphone. MySpace were not ready for the smartphone. Think about Netflix. Netflix used to send off the DVDs from Netflix.
Right.
It wasn't like they're a streaming company, but they optimized towards 4G coming. They knew that would give us HD video streaming. And now we're on this kind of cusp of a 5G era. And I think, you know, the first big trend will be ultra high definition video. So 4K, 8K video on mobile. you'll start to see real-time branching narrative content in video. So imagine Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror program that's, you know, choose your own path, but map to your emotional engagement with the content. So what you get back from that content depends on how engaged you are or whether you're enjoying it. We'll have digital humans will increase, run with AI. So whether they're customer services or whether they're content deliverers or whether they're someone who's a, you know, a friend at home, they will become more realistic, more photoreal, more intelligent, more emotional, because all of that processing and AI can be done off the device.
So those are only the first things which will
come. There are some things, and then also immersive, live events will have more immersive experiences, augmentation, customer services. As you move through a stadium, you'll be able to wayfind your seat with accuracy. Yeah, cloud gaming as well. So cloud gaming and esports will be one of the biggest benefactors of 5G.
So it will affect more or less like all business models, more or less. Everyone is like digitalized in a way.
Yeah.
So just like as a specific recommendation now at the end, that you said like, okay, companies need to be prepared for what's coming and not only start testing it when it's there. How can they do it today? Where would they start today to be prepared of what's going to happen over the next 5 years?
So I think two of the big trends would be that digitally we're moving from a 2D world to a 3D world, and we're moving from content to experiences. So I would say 3D is a key component. So creating 3D assets, 3D experiences, 3D content, and that might exist in VR, it might exist in augmented reality, it might be as simple as like IKEA are doing and making every product that they have in their range a 3D model that can be used in any platform, whether they've got a 3D digital website, whether it's an AR, etc. Right? So that's a big trend that people can get involved in now. And then the other thing is investing in experiences, so giving people tangible experiences, the things that they can talk and remember. AR has been around for a long time.
It is,
But I think over the next 2 years, we're going to see it really move into a world that's genuinely our physical and virtual world will become mapped to with millimeter accuracy, and that's where there's a big opportunity. They're calling it the metaverse or AR cloud. I think businesses need to start thinking about what their place in that world should be.
Okay, so then we need to get started right away. So thank you very much for the insights, Sam Field, Head of Creative Technology EMEA for Riot Studio at Verizon Media, for those insights.
No problem. Thanks very much.